Go and be what you already are. The theme we're following is Jesus in our lives today. And in order to understand Jesus in our lives today, we need to go back a couple of thousand years ago. Picture the moment Jesus climbs a hill in Galilee. The crowd settles, fishermen with rough hands, mothers with tired eyes, people carrying worries they can't quite name. The Roman Empire hums in the distance. Taxes are heavy. Hope is thin. Their lives would have seemed to be insignificant in the light of the Roman Empire. They might have asked themselves, how could I ever make a difference in this empire, in this world? And into that ordinary, anxious world, Jesus begins to speak. He doesn't start with a list of tasks. He doesn't hand out targets or a five-year plan. He begins with something far deeper, a description of who these people already are becoming in God. He looks at a handful of very ordinary lives and gives them a global horizon. They're not just to be the flavour of Galilee, not the brightness of the village, but something for the whole world. And imagine someone nudging their neighbour in the crowd that day, saying, blimey, he thinks big, doesn't he? And he does. Jesus does think big, because Jesus always sees more in us than we see in ourselves. So to understand Jesus in our lives today, we need to examine two metaphors that Jesus used that day 2,000 years ago. And those two metaphors were salt and light. So let's start with salt. To be worth your salt. That's once meant something very serious. Salt was precious. In the old days, soldiers were paid in it. But Jesus has more in mind than value. In the ancient world, salt did three things. It preserved. So before fridges, meat was packed in salt to slow decay. So Jesus is almost describing a people whose presence holds back rot. And boy, is there a lot of rot in this world to hold back. You know, where bitterness grows, Christians bring grace. Where lies spread, they carry truth. So it preserved, but it also healed. Salt is an antiseptic. The prophet Ezekiel even describes, miles more than 2,000 years ago, he describes newborn babies being rubbed with salt for protection. Even modern science now nods along to the idea. See, we gargle with salt water. Salt water weakens viruses. It cleans wounds. It stings, but it does save. So it preserves, it heals, but it also flavours. You know, when we add a little salt to food, the taste can improve. Although I can never quite understand why people add salt to food that they've not already tasted, but let's leave that to one side. See, faith should make life taste better in our homes, in our workplaces, in the streets. Our streets ought to be feel different because a follower of Jesus is there. So notice what Jesus doesn't ask for. He doesn't ask for something impressive or something loud, but just something that is present and in preserving, something that heals and is flavouring. See, living in Saddleworth, we understand salt better than most. Every winter, Oldham Council sends out the gritters, those unsung heroes of our local roads and streets. In our household, someone invariably says, I think that's the gritters. And what names they have. Nicole Salt Slinger. Wonder if you've seen Britney Spears or Basil Salty on the roads or Freddie Salted. See, my favourite is Gritsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Anti-Slip Machiney. But nobody stands on the pavement at 5 a.m. in the morning shouting, "Encore, Gritney. What a performance." No, 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 no. Salt does its best work unnoticed. See, imagine if the Gritters announced, "Actually, this year we're focusing on self-expression. Today we're here to be seen, not spread." See, if that happened, we'd be on our backsides before breakfast. Jesus never asked for glitter, just grit, scattered, hidden, stopping people slipping. See, in all fairness, Jesus seems quite happy if we're Walter the Salter, as long as we're on the road. So the metaphor of salt Jesus uses. But what about the metaphor of light? My first conscious relationship with light began appropriately when there wasn't any. I grew up in the 1970s. I know that's very, very hard to believe. But it was the golden age of power cuts, brown carpets and televisions that weighed more than a family car. My grandma and I would be watching the TV. Three channels, all slightly beige. And just as something important was about to happen, darkness. Not gentle spiritual darkness. Proper has the end of the world started darkness. The television would die, the kettle would go silent, and my grandma would announce like a wartime general, "Right, find the torch." The only flaw being finding a torch requires light, which we currently didn't have. So I'd shuffle around like a confused mole, bumping into furniture, while my grandma began the sacred ritual of candle hunting, opening drawers untouched since the coronation. We'd end up in two flickering candles. No TV, no heating, and she'd say, "Isn't this cozy?" Which was 1970s for "We may not survive the night." Maybe Jesus would update the image today. Don't be a strobe light Christian. On fire Sunday, invisible Monday. Don't be a dimmer switch disciple, he might say, adjusting yourself to the room. See, he could have talked about lasers, floodlights, LED mood lights, but he didn't. Light, in his mind, was simpler than that. Steady, faithful, shining where you are. See, Jesus in our lives today still says to us, salt and light. See, why is this important? Well, I think it's important because we're living in an anxious age. People feel fragile. Trust is thin. The future looks uncertain. And darkness makes it hard to know which way to walk. And into that atmosphere, Jesus doesn't begin with a strategy. He begins by describing a people the world desperately needs. Salt and light, speaking straight into the fears of our time. You see, both of them are necessary for life. See, without salt, the body weakens. Without light, nothing grows. The world cannot flourish without quiet, faithful believers. Quiet, faithful believers carry healing. They disinfect that which is infected, exposing what needs mending, inviting restoration rather than reaction. They penetrate. See, salt doesn't argue with food, it just changes it. Light doesn't negotiate with darkness, it arrives. There's nothing neutral about either. And there should be nothing neutral about the people shaped by Jesus. See, Jesus is reminding us of his Father's first words. When there was darkness and chaos in Genesis, it says, "Let there be light." And also the surprise of the gospel in the end, light always begins in the dark. Remember, the resurrection of Jesus emerged from the darkness of the tomb. And I think we see this phenomena in nature as well. I have a friend called Yoka, who's a forester. See, he tells me that when a tree falls, there's a gap in the canopy because that tree, you know, was just really kind of shading out all of the light. See, when there's a gap in the canopy, the light reaches the floor of the forest and seeds long buried leap to life. I mean, isn't that wonderful? That as soon as there's light on a part of the forest floor that hasn't had light for ages, the dormant seeds come to light. And you know what? I think that's where most lives today start. See, all it needs at times is one sliver of light, a conversation, kindness, a prayer, and something dormant wakes up. We don't need to be spectacular, only willing to enter the dark with what we've been given. So Jesus, in our lives today, says salt and light. Some of you know that I work with churches in the UK and internationally. A lady called Rachel heard me speak recently about a 14-word prayer that is transforming the lives of Christians and bringing this concept of salt and light. And that prayer is, "Lord, today, is there someone you want me to connect with outside the church?" Rachel emailed me and said, "Half of me would like to do the prayer." So Rachel and I arranged a Zoom call. And I said to Rachel, "Can I speak to the half of you who would like to do this? Please send the other half of you out of the room." And then I said, "Would you do me a favour? Pray the prayer for the days up to Christmas." This was on December the 3rd. "And if nothing happens," I said, "this is going to be our last conversation." "I hope it isn't," I said to Rachel. "But if you are connected to someone through this prayer, would you drop me a line and let me know?" Nearly 40 days later, Rachel emailed me to say that the Lord had answered that prayer by putting people in her pathway, putting people in her mind to connect with. And all of those encounters were Rachel being salt and light. See, we don't have to be spectacular. See, the Lord can use half a person, because it was Rachel saying, "Half of me wants to do this." See, it's the widow's mite. So that's why this Lent I'm inviting something simple. 10 seconds a day, 14 words over 40 days. And those 14 words, "Lord, today, is there someone you want me to connect with outside the church?" It's not a program, not a project, just availability. Salt works by contact, by connection. Light works by proximity, by being near to someone. This prayer simply puts us in the path of God's next moment. So finally, Jesus looks at ordinary people and says something outrageous. "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Not one day you might be. Not if you become impressive enough. Not after a course. Not after a title or a platform. Right now, you are. Matthew, the gospel writer, wrote "you are" as an emphatic plural. If I do it in the proper English from that idea of an emphatic plural, it says this, you, and you alone are the salt of the earth. You, and you alone are the light of the world. So let me ask you a different kind of question. How many of us have made a difference in someone's life and may not even know it? Because we've convinced ourselves the real impact must look dramatic. Something for the confident, the gifted, the platform people, the world changes on YouTube and the conference stages. We've imagined that changing lives is something you qualify for one day. And to believe it could be happening through us already feels a bit uncomfortable. See, in doing that, we've quietly devalued the small, holy things we do every day. Jesus never did that. When he called us salt, he was talking about tiny grains that change the taste of a whole meal. When he called us light, he was talking about a single flame that changes a whole room. Not spectacular, but powerful. I once heard a story about a woman who thanked a man for a moment that changed her life. You know what? He didn't even remember it. To him, it was nothing. To her, it was everything. Let me ask you another question. How many of us can remember a moment of truth, a time someone said or did something that quietly changed you, me, for good? And now the harder question. Did you ever tell them? Did I ever tell them? You see, we celebrate birthdays for simply staying alive another year. Yet, we let people who have changed our lives walk around never knowing it. See, here's the truth. Jesus already knows about you. Every person in this church has been someone's moment of truth. Every one of you has been salt in a tasteless day. Every one of you has been light in someone's darkness. You just may not have been told. And that is frightening, because it means we are far more powerful than we feel. Jesus says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Not because it's trying to show off, but because light cannot help being light. Maybe the salt and light influence isn't about changing the world. Maybe it's about changing one person's world, one conversation, one kindness, one invitation, one moment of noticing. That is discipleship. That is mission. That is salt and light. So imagine if this church decided to measure faithfulness differently, not by titles, but by moments of love created, by courage passed on, by hope quietly paid forward. If you change one person's understanding of how loved they are, how capable they are, how near God is, you have changed the whole world. Jesus looks at you in your life today and says, you already are salt. You already are light. Go and be what you already are. Amen.